Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, Light Up Your Christmas, with a message titled, When God Messes Up Your Plans. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Has God ever messed up your plans? You know, you had a surefire thing going on, and the Almighty comes along, and He says, hold on, buddy. I got something else for you. You know, the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I mean, plan all you want, but in the end, it's God's purpose that will prevail. I mean, the Christmas story, when you think about it, is full of subplots of a lot of people whose plans got turned upside down by the arrival of Christ. I mean, lots of that really is the story when you think about it. And so let's go through a few of the characters. Now, not a popular character in the Christmas story, but King Herod. Think about the change of plans that were pushed upon him. King Herod wanted to be the king of the Jews. The Jews hated him, but he was going to be king, by golly, no matter what. And with maniacal, murderous power, he forced his way and retained his kingship among the Jews. He murdered his father-in-law. He killed a few of his wives. He had 10 of them. He even murdered a couple of sons. I mean, Herod was not a nice guy. He was going to be king no matter what. That was his plan until the Magi, the wise men, showed up and they tell him, hey, there's a new king in town. Change of plans. The shepherds, they're planning on finishing up the night shift and heading to the old pub. And the angel shows up and says, wait a minute, boys, I want you to go to Bethlehem because in a manger there, the Son of God has been born. You will find him and you will worship him in that place. And then there are the Jewish leaders. They plan for a political Messiah to deliver them from Roman occupation. But they got a baby instead who would deliver them from their sin. And then there's Elizabeth. Remember old Elizabeth? She is an old woman. She's the cousin of Mary. She is a chronologically challenged person. And she is planning on bocce ball at the senior center, not being pregnant with the forerunner of the Messiah, John, whom we call the Baptist. In her old age, the Lord gives her a child. And then there's Joseph, of course. He plans on marrying a nice Jewish girl, like his mother always told him. Just marry a nice Jewish girl. And so he finds one, they're engaged, and then his fiancée shows up and she announces that she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Change of plans. And what about Mary? I mean, she is the quintessential example of a change of plans. Mary, she's planning for nuptials, not a nursery. I mean, talk about messed up plans. When you look at her life, talk about messed up plans. Mary is betrothed to Joseph. This was an arrangement in that time, in that culture, between their two families. They have arranged, prearranged, for this marriage. Probably since Mary was just a little girl, and now she's 13 or 14 years old, it's time for the marriage, the wedding, the ceremony. In that time and culture, there were some very young brides. But as the time for the wedding nears, an angel appears, and he says three things to her. One, you'll get pregnant before your wedding ceremony. Two, your fiancé, Joseph, won't be the father. By the way, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. And then three, the baby is going to be God. Talk about messed up plans. When God messes up your plans, He really messes them up. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Plan all you want, and generally that's a good thing. In fact, the same book of Proverbs talks about our planning. It calls us to engage in wise planning in our lives. But, listen to this, but God reserves the right to change those plans. This would be a good point for an amen, even by faith, even if you're not comfortable with it. God reserves the right to change our plans. We are called to plan our lives out, but God reserves the right to step in at any moment and change those plans. And the fact of the matter might be for you this morning, God is in the process of messing up your plans. You might be going through a season where God is changing, is messing up, is messing with your plans. You know, 35 plus years ago, I was planning on being a philosopher. Really, I was planning on being a philosopher, and now I'm a preacher. I mean, I would have been out sitting under a tree, you know, philosophizing, holding forth with a bunch of hippies. You know, I would have been talking about Augustine and Anselm and Aquinas and Aristotle, and now I'm preaching to you about Advent. God changed my plans. A few years, 15 years ago, actually, when Linda and I left Portland for San Francisco, I didn't plan on coming back to a city with winter weather alerts. I didn't ever plan on being back in a city that celebrates sunbreaks. I mean, who does that? Celebrate sunbreaks? San Diego, maybe? God, if you're listening, not sunbreaks. And I had lots of plans. I had lots of great plans for my lives and for my life. But as the Scottish poet Robert Burns famously wrote, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Is that true or what? Our best laid plans often go awry. I read about a woman in New York, a mother, who took her young son to the mall to visit Santa, to sit on Santa's lap. Well, it turns out that as he was sitting on Santa's lap, they discovered that this Santa was actually her ex-husband, a deadbeat dad who wasn't paying child support. So she grabbed her son and they left, and she showed back up a few hours later with a court injunction, and she slapped him with a ho, 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 this loser. That Santa wasn't planning on that kind of a day, was he? Sometimes our plans change. Life doesn't go according to plan. Now, that is not to say that God plans everything that happens to us. Okay? So hear me. God doesn't plan everything that happens to us. If we get in an accident, if we're abused, if we get cancer, if our family disintegrates, that is not God's plan. God didn't plan that. God didn't plan that, but God planned for that. God didn't plan that, but God planned for that. God is not the author of evil. God doesn't plan bad things for our lives. Bad things can come into our lives and mess up our nice plans, can turn our world upside down simply because we are living in a fallen, sin-filled, broken world. It happens. But God providentially repurposes our circumstances because he's got something else in mind for us. The sovereign God repurposes our lives and our events for something else. And that happened in spades. That happened throughout this first Christmas story. And as we look at this, as we think about this aspect of the story, it teaches us some very important life lessons. And I want to give you a couple of them this morning, a couple of life lessons from the first Christmas story about when we have our plans messed up. First one is this. When God messes up your plans, he's trying to get your attention. If you're going through a time of messed up plans, God is trying to get your attention. Now, why? Because you're not listening. If you're like me, probably you are not listening. You're so focused on what you want to do that you can't see what God wants to do. And so he messes with your plans to get your attention. Or it could be that you see what God wants to do, but you're afraid of it. You know exactly what that God is at work, but it scares you. It scares you to death. The truth is, we often resist God's plan because of our fear. Fear of failure. Oh man, if I go with God on this, I could fail. I could bomb big time, bigly. Or fear of inadequacy. Man, what God is calling me to is more than I can handle. I am not adequate for this. Or fear of change. I'm going to be outside of my comfort zone, way outside of my comfort zone if I go with God on this. You know, when I left here to go to California, I had those fears. I mean, as I stepped out, I thought, man, what if I bomb? I mean, what if I fail? And the first year I was there, I thought I was going to fail big time. Or I thought, man, I don't know if I can, I've said yes to this, but I don't know if I'm adequate for the job. I was way out of my comfort zone. I was afraid. And then God called me back here, and I was afraid. I thought, what if I bomb? What if they don't like me after all? Maybe they just thought they liked me, but they really won't. Am I adequate to do what this church really needs in the next leader? This is out of my comfort zone. I just gotten comfortable with California, and now he's calling me back to Oregon and sunbreaks and winter weather alerts. And it's out of my comfort zone. Luke 1:29 says that Mary felt the same thing. It says Mary was greatly troubled at the words of the angel. Greatly troubled. That's why there was fear in that great troubling, that disturbance within. Because the angel then said to her, just a verse later, Mary, don't be afraid. Fear. God's plan was so beyond her mental capacity. It was off her grid of understanding, her grid of experience. It was well beyond her comfort zone that God had to send an angel to reveal the plan. It was so big, so grandiose, so beyond the pale, God said to the archangel, I need you to go and explain this plan to Mary because I'm not going to get her attention any other way. Now, God doesn't send angels much anymore to reveal his plan to us. Do you understand that? I mean, that's not to say that God can't send an angel. Maybe once in a while, rarely, an angel will show up, but not normally. Because we now have the Word of God in written form. And we have the Holy Spirit to reveal the written Word of God and bring the Word alive. The Rhema, the written Word, the Logos Word is the written Word, and the Rhema is that Spirit-breathed life of the Word that comes to us in that moment. So we have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the church to help us to understand and discern the will of God, so God doesn't have to send angels anymore. Hebrews says we have a more certain word of prophecy. Now, can God send angels? Yeah, periodically, yes. So I'm not discounting that entirely, but most of the time we get the word from the word. We get God revealing himself in his word, but God does still need to get our attention, and so what does he do? He often will send change to get our attention. He sends change. And so, if you are going through major life change right now, going through major life change. Now, I'm not talking about run-of-the-mill change, where you go to the restaurant and they've changed the menu. We're not talking about that. That's not a God thing, all right? We're talking about high-level life, major life change that you didn't plan on. Here's what I would suggest that you do, that you look up and you listen up, because God is speaking. God's got something for you. Now, I know that it's way overused, it's taken out of context, it's often misapplied, but it's still true. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know, the Lord says, I know my plans for you. You may not know God's plans, but he knows them. And sometimes he messes up your plans to get your attention because he wants you to focus on his plan for your life. God will mess up our plans to get our attention. Here's the second life lesson. When God messes up your plans, it's always because he's got a better plan. Always because he's got a better plan. That verse in Jeremiah 29:11 goes on to say, the plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Prosperity, protection, hope, a future. That sounds like a better plan than my plan, doesn't it? That's what God does. Now listen to this. God never turns your world upside down to make it worse. If you're going through a topsy-turvy experience right now, God will never turn your world upside down to make it worse for you. He's always got something better for you. I'm sure that Joseph and Mary just wanted to settle down. They wanted to have a simple life. They wanted to have some little Joes and some little Marys. But God could see what they couldn't see. God saw that the world was in spiritual darkness. The people were in bondage to sin and they needed a Savior. And so they were the chosen couple. The world needed a Savior. The time was right. They were the ones. And God called upon them to make it happen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says that Mary will give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus. The Old Testament name is Joshua or Yeshua, which means Savior. Jesus, that's what it means. Joshua means Savior. Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save people because they are in sin. That's what God saw. God didn't just give them a child. He gave them a Christ child. God had a better plan. When God changes your plans, it's because he's got a better plan. So what do you learn about God's better plan from this Christmas story? For your story, you've got a story going on. It's not the Christmas story, but the Christmas story applies. So what can you learn and apply in your life from the Christmas story's revelation of God's better plan? Let me give you a few things. For starters, God's plan is always bigger than your plan. Always. Because he's got a bigger perspective than you do. God sees what you don't. An unexpected turn in the road is likely a new direction to a divine blessing. Or the frustration of a closed door might be to prevent disaster that you can't see. If there's a new direction, then listen up and look out for God's plan. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. God himself says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours." I'm seeing the world from a higher viewpoint. I have a higher perspective. I see down the road. I see the end from the beginning. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God has plans for your life that are way bigger than anything you can imagine. But here's the second thing, the second application. God's plan will likely be harder than your plan. You know, from your experience, from your perspective, you know, nothing's too hard for the Lord, but to you it's going to seem like it's harder. God's plan will likely be harder than your plan. Why is that? Because you are in a kingdom. You are in a kingdom. And God is interested, more interested in advancing his kingdom than your comfort. I'm sorry to break the news to you. God is more interested in advancing his kingdom in your life and through your life than your comfort. Comfort will come, but right now it's kingdom advancement. Listen, we are living in enemy-occupied territory. And God's kingdom never comes to our lives and through our lives by tiptoeing through the tulips. Doesn't work that way. It comes by advancement. It comes by power. It comes by force. You think it was easy for Joseph to say yes to marrying a woman who he's not married to, who is now pregnant? In the eyes of the community, she's going to be labeled an adulteress. You think it was easy for Joseph to say yes to marrying an adulteress just to fulfill thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? You think it was the easiest plan for the unwed pregnant Mary in her final days of pregnancy to ride on a donkey the 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem to give birth in a barn just so that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You think it was easy for Mary? Have you ever been around a woman in the late stages of pregnancy? Riding a donkey is not her preferred activity, I don't think. By the way, I took Linda camping in her eighth month of pregnancy. I can't remember what child it was. It was one of our two kids, the first kid. Not glamping. You know what glamping is? That's when you're in a motor coach and have. We went camping. And I can tell you this, that Linda was neither happy nor holy. We've not been camping since. I'd love to, but I just, like, I'm not going there. It's a good thing we weren't the chosen couple. Not a good thing. Do you think it was the easier path for Mary to give birth to the Son of God all by herself and in a barn? Was God's plan bigger? Yeah. Was it easy? No, not at all. When you cooperate with God's plan, you don't always get the easy, but you do get the eternal. Far better thing. You won't always get easy, but you get the eternal. And that leads me to the final thing, the final application. When God messes up your plans, He is always, always, always inviting you to join Him in His work. If God is interrupting your best laid plans right now, it's because He is inviting you into His work, which is eternal. God chose Mary. Think about this. God chose Mary. And I think there's a theology out there who says that God chose Mary because she was the most qualified. She was, you know, the Catholic theology that leads to Mariolatry, if you will, the veneration of Mary. God didn't choose Mary because she was the perfect specimen. It was simply out of His sovereign grace. Just out of His sovereign grace, He chose Mary and He chose Joseph. But God chose Mary as the instrument by which God Himself would enter the world. Now, here's the thing. Mary could have said either no thanks or yes, sir. Because God gives us options. Because you've got option when God messes with your plan, you've got option. Options. You can either stay put or you can go with God. God doesn't force it on you. If God's messing with your plans right now, you can say, no thanks, God. You can stay put, or you can say, yes, sir, and you can go with God. And again, God's work in the world is always bigger and harder than what you would naturally choose. Naturally, you would say, no, you've got the wrong guy. You get somebody else for this. That's why the angel had to come along and encourage Mary with the words in Luke 1:37, Mary, this is hard, this is big, it's not easy, but nothing is impossible with God. I'm so glad they put that in that story. Otherwise, I don't think that we would relate to it. I don't think that we would embrace it. I think we would go, nice story, but that's not my story. But the writers insert this part of the narrative. For nothing is impossible with God. Listen, a divine change in your plans is always an opportunity to step out in faith and go with God on a kingdom adventure of eternal consequence. Doesn't that sound good? A kingdom adventure of eternal consequence. If God is messing with your plans right now, it's an opportunity for you to go with God, and the journey will be a kingdom adventure like you've never seen before of eternal consequence. And that's what I want. In my better moments, when I'm not all, you know, cowering in fear about things and playing it safe, that's what I want for my life. And I think you do too. And that's what I want for my church. That we will step out and go with God on a kingdom adventure of eternal consequence. Now listen, are things not going according to plan for you this Christmas? Is God kind of messing with your agenda? That relationship didn't pan out? You planned to be with people. You thought you would spend Christmas with people, but you're alone and you're lonely. That's not what you had planned on. Maybe finances have gone south and Christmas time and reveals your lack, and it's not what you had planned on and you're stressed. Maybe it's the first Christmas since a divorce or the death of a loved one or a change in your health and you hurt over that, and that's not what you had planned for your life. Now listen, as your pastor, I watch that stuff happen in our congregation. I see that especially at Christmas time and how it brings out fear, it brings out loneliness, it brings out disappointment, it brings out hurt, it brings out dread. I see that. And I wish I could change that for you. I wish I had Jedi powers and it would be okay. I wish I could. I really do. I wish I could. But I can't. But I can promise you this, that God has plans for you. Good plans. God has good plans for you that are undimmed by your difficulties and undiminished by your disappointments. God has plans for you. And so I would suggest that you do what Mary did when God messed up her plans. Be open. Be open. Treasure God's kingdom over your comfort. I would just challenge you right now. Just commit to treasuring God's kingdom over human comfort. Luke 2:19 says, Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart. She treasured these things, these difficult things that God was revealing to her. She treasured them in her heart quietly, and she often thought about them. Commit to treasuring the things that God treasures. It won't be easy, but it will be eternal. Be open to it. Then be willing. Be willing. Surrender your plan for God's plan. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to do whatever He wants. Have you said that to God lately? Especially if you're going through a season of change and discomfort. Have you said, God, I am your servant. I am willing to do whatever you want. Whatever God is asking you to give up, listen, here's the deal. Whatever God is asking you to turn over to Him, to give up, to surrender, He will replace with something far better. So be willing. That's His track record, so be willing. And then finally, be faithful. Just be faithful. Trust God. Just trust God and patiently wait for Him to fulfill His plan for you. Luke 1:37 says of Mary, the angel says to Mary, for every promise from God shall surely come true. Every promise will surely come true. Are you willing? Are you willing to trust and obey when God messes with your plans? If you are, He makes the same promise to you that He did to Mary in Luke 1:45. Listen to this. You believe that God would do what He said. That is why He is giving you this wonderful blessing. Are you willing to trust God completely? If you're going through a time of messed up plans, are you willing to trust God completely? If you are, He will reward you for believing Him.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.